Welcome back to this study of Proverbs, the book that we know as the Book of Wisdom, one of the wisdom books in the Bible, one of the five books, but which we could call Lessons on Learning to Live in the Fear of God. That is, living life as if He matters more than you do. This is our fifth podcast. Previous, we had an intro, and then we looked at an outline, and then we dove into chapter 1, in which we looked at Solomon appealing to the young man still in his home, what we would call a teenager. In chapter 2, we saw the next phase of the young man that Solomon is appealing to, and that is the young man newly out on his own, out of the house for the first time. Lessons of life that he will encounter in that phase of his life, and the temptations, many of them having to do with godly and ungodly companions. This time, we're in chapter 3, and this audience that Solomon is directing his advice to is a young man who is beginning to make his way in the world. And we can see that from the text itself, chapter 3. And look what he says. In verse 4 of chapter 3, it says, "You will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." So this is someone in the stage of their life where they're beginning to be concerned about relationships. Now let's jump down to verse 9. "Honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first of all your produce." Verse 10, "So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." This is a concern about possessions, income, money, and even honor, and the life ahead. Now let's jump down to verse 27 of this same chapter, and let's look at a few verses there. 27 of chapter 3, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor when he lives in security beside you." Now, although we have a lot about neighbors in the forthcoming chapters, this is the first time in Solomon's primer of the young man that he's addressing this, and that is the neighbors. This is someone who's concerned with learning to live with his neighbors. And one more clue as to who this audience is. In verse 33, "The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous." Now this is very close to the end of the chapter. And here we see the young man who has on his radar, on his horizon, concern for his what? His house, his home. Again, this is a young man beginning to make his way in the world. He's establishing himself in the world, you know, building a home, having a place to live, working to get secure in his job, and all those things. And we'll see how this all progresses as we go through the upcoming chapters. So let's read our text, and let's look at the first 12 verses. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights." So what we have here in these first 12 verses is Solomon teaching the young man, newly out on his own, but now also beginning to make his way in the world, beginning to, you know, make his mark, make his way, establish himself. And what Solomon does is he begins by teaching the young man how to manage himself. Let's go at the beginning again. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. He's saying, do not forget. Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. He's appealing to the young man who really has the whole world ahead of him, his long life ahead of him. And he's encouraging him how to get that long life, how to achieve it. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. He's saying, don't gravitate away from the faith. You were taught in the home, and you've sustained and maintained that faith as you went out on your own. And now that you are working hard to make your way in the world, don't let faith leave you. He'll say it again in chapter 4 and again in chapter 5. Verse 4, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. He says, you don't have to try to get a reputation and get favor the world's way. You can do it God's way. God will give it to you if you just fear him. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not lean on your understanding. And it goes all the way through verse 8, where it says, there'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. This is dealing with decision making. Solomon is saying, young man, making your way, your life right now is going to be characterized by decision-making, one after the other after the other. He says, involve the Lord in those decisions. Don't trust in your own wisdom. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There it is again, fear the Lord, which comes up again and again and again in this book. And we've dealt with that in the introduction, defining it, explaining it. Look what he says. He says, the opposite of fearing the Lord is to be evil. And how is it evil? Do not be wise in your own eyes. He's calling that evil. That is self-sufficiency. That is the opposite of fearing God. Remember what fearing the Lord is? Knowing your place before him. That he is vastly more larger than you are, and you are very, very small. And he deserves, he even demands, that you see him in his proper place. And verse 8 tells us there is a reward for being that way. There's a reward for that attitude. What does it say? It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And then he goes on in verse 9. He says, honor the Lord from your wealth. He's saying, you know, treat what the Lord blesses you with. And again, this is the one making his way, so he's establishing his career, he's making money, and Solomon says, don't count God out of that making your income. And in fact, demonstrate to God that you understand he owns it. It's his to begin with. Let's look at those two verses. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. He's saying, remember, it's his. And in doing so, you will have abundance. You don't have to worry about what you have. If you just realize it's his, and you actually take steps to honor him in that ownership by giving up some of it to him. This is scriptural. Honoring God by realizing he owns what you have. All right, then verse 11. My son, do not neglect or reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. What's he saying there? He's saying, you know, young man, as you make your way in the world and you, you know, establish your ways of doing things, and you get a routine down, and you get going in your career. He says, don't forget to stay teachable. Don't forget to stay teachable. Don't think you've got it all. And that is the temptation, isn't it? Of the young person who has begun to be successful, who has seen the fruits of working hard, establishing himself. He begins to think that it's all on him. He begins to think that he's done it all. And Solomon says, no, don't fall into that trap. And he goes on in this same vein of managing yourself. Look at verse 13. Let's read 13 through 18. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Solomon says, young man, all the things that you so desire right now, as you work hard to establish yourself, all these things that you want, guess what? All these things you want out of life are found in Him, in God, in Jesus Christ. They're all found in Him. Verse 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Remember, wisdom is personified in the New Testament as Jesus Christ. And even in parts of the Old Testament. You remember we looked at Job chapter 28, where at the very end of the chapter it says, if you want wisdom, then you need to want God. And the New Testament tells us the way we get God is through Jesus Christ. So all things you want out of life are in Him. And verse 13 tells us that the real increase in life is having Jesus. Look at verses 14 and 15. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Now, this is referring back to wisdom. And although I said the New Testament applies this to Jesus, here in the Old Testament, although it makes the same connection in a much more oblique manner, look what's happening here. This is a tool that Solomon uses. He personifies wisdom as a person. And in fact, there's a chapter, chapter 8, where the whole chapter is Solomon doing that, making wisdom a person. Now, why is he doing that? What is the reason for personification? It is to emphasize that you need a relationship. If you want to be wise, wisdom is a relationship. Verse 15, she's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. 16, long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. That's what the young man wants. Verse 17, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Solomon is appealing to the young man's desire for a satisfied life, for satisfaction. If you look in the New Living Translation, the NLT, you'll find that that's the word they use there. The word satisfaction. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Solomon is saying this is the right kind of life to pursue, a life that is subject to God through Jesus Christ. And he's calling it the blessed life. He says here, happy are all who hold her fast. Blessed. You're blessed. You're endowed. You're given a great life if you put God first. So he goes on, and he goes on in saying that God is the source. God is the source of all you want. He has said that in verses 13 through 18, all things you want out of life are in Him. And he emphasizes it now for a few more verses by saying God is the source. Look at 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. Let's go ahead and read all the way through 26. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So there'll be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. God is the source, he says, of all that you want out of life. And more than that, he's already said in verses 13 through 18, all things you want out of life are found in Jesus. But now he says, God isn't just something you add to life. Jesus isn't something you add to. Jesus is life. He is the source of life. He is life itself. Look how he starts in verse 19 with creation. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. He says, wouldn't you want to have a relationship with someone who made relationships? Who made the world? Look at the next verse. By his knowledge, the deeps are broken up and the skies drip with dew. He's describing God now. First, it was creator. Now he's describing him as the sustainer, the provider. Verse 21. My son, let these not depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. He's saying, don't lose sight of this. Don't lose sight of God as creator and sustainer. And then verse 22. If you do, hang on. If you do retain the vision of God as these things. Verse 22. So there'll be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. It's like wearing jewelry. Your life will be blessed. Your life will be beautiful. Verse 23. You'll walk in your way securely and your foot will not stumble. For the next few verses, 23 through 26, Solomon says, God oversees. God is not only the source of all you want out of life. Jesus is not only the way to get the things that you're pursuing, and he's creator and he's sustainer. He also is your protector. He oversees your life. You'll walk in your way securely, verse 23. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid, verse 24. 25, don't be afraid of sudden fear, nor even of the onslaught or storm or attack of the wicked. And verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. God oversees. Now the next few verses, Solomon is going to appeal to the young man making his way by teaching him about managing other people. Up till now, in this chapter, he's been talking about managing ourselves. And now it's going to be about other people. Just a few verses. Look at verse 27, and we'll read through 30. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives in security beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. This is how to manage others. He starts up by saying, you're going to have opportunities to help other people. That's verses 27 and 28. You're going to have opportunities to help other people and do so. Solomon says in 28, don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. By the way, this is also echoed in his other wisdom book, Ecclesiastes. In chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon devotes six verses in chapter 11, the first six verses, to this very same subject. That life includes the opportunity and the obligation to help other people if you can help them. And just like here in verse 28, where Solomon says, don't make excuses, look what he says. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. He does the same thing in Ecclesiastes. And in fact, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon runs through three or four or five different possible excuses that people give. Check it out. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 through 6. So managing others. And then verses 29 and 30, that's devoted to getting along with your neighbor. Look what he says. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives in security beside you. That hints at the fact that you are part of his security. Part of his security depends on you. Verse 30, do not contend with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Don't raise issues to quarrel about. Don't contend with your neighbor, is what he's saying. And then the last section here, let's read 31 through 35 to the end. Do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways, for the crooked man is an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Did you notice, by the way, how many times the themes recur? Verse 33, the house and the dwelling. Again, this is directed toward a man who is establishing his house. He's building his home. He's furthering his career and his life's work. And what this section, this last section, 31 through 35, is speaking to is, he's already said how to manage yourself and how to manage others. Now he's saying, keep away from the wrong people. Don't fall in with the wrong crowd. Look at 31. Do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of its ways. His ways. It is right to the point. Because a man who's making his way and forging a life for himself, isn't he going to be influenced by those who are his peers, and maybe there's some he looks up to, and he's going to be influenced by those for good or for bad. Don't fall in with the wrong crowd. Don't act like the wicked. By the way, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, written to Ephesus, the believers in Ephesus, which was a Roman colony, he says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 5. Don't act like those who don't know God. Don't act like the wicked. And then he says why here, verse 32. For the crooked man is an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. He's saying, if you're gravitating towards some guy you admire, some person who's maybe got more success than you, and he's trying to tell you the way and show you, but he has no morals and he's a wicked man, he says, don't you realize that God is not favoring that individual? Don't you realize that God is far from him and that God sees that man as an abomination? That's what he's saying. He's saying the wicked are far from God. Look what he says. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. And he scoffs at the scoffers, but he gives grace to the afflicted. God is saying, which do you want? Do you want honor? Or do you want disgrace? Do you want to live in the fear of God? Or do you want to live in the fear of man and be dishonored and be disgraced and not have a pleasant, fruitful, good life? The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. There's another version that says in verse 35 that fools parade disgrace. They parade it. That is, their lives speak to the choices they have made. Solomon is saying, don't be one of those. Don't be one of those that in the time where you're making the most decisions probably in your whole life, don't let the very end of your life look like all the choices you have made, all the bad choices that you have made. Because that will happen. It will either look like the good choices you have made or the bad ones. Well, this is Solomon. Again, speaking to the one who's making his way in the world. This is chapter 3. And what a great teaching for the young man. And I hope that this, even though you may not be a young man, just as I am not, hopefully this makes sense. Hopefully you can see the wisdom of God here and see the appeal God is making to you right now to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's all for now, and until next time, believe God.